Well, let me answer that by describing some of the keystone habits that I recommend for people to internalize in the field. Is that a good way to approach this? First of all, meditation. I mean, we're speaking about this theme of cognitive biases, or basically observing your mental addictions the moment that they set in. Meditation is as deep and as powerful a tool as I could possibly describe. I mean, it's maybe 6 or 7 years ago, when I was first talking about meditation with guys in the finance world, it seemed like some woo-woo strange thing for them to take on. Mm-hmm. But as more and more people are integrating it into their process, I mean, you wouldn't believe how many of the most powerful players in the world are meditating very deeply. It's just an amazing way of deepening the creative process, deepening presence, expanding your energetic relationship to the world, gaining insight, and realizing that most of the thinking that we do basically springs from mental addiction. And much of people's lives are spent in an emotional swirl, which is a reactive one. And having a relationship's presence, which allows you to see through the illusion of that emotional swirl or of those mental addictions. I mean, meditation is an incredibly powerful tool, which I know you know mm-hmm. quite deeply. I've been meditating since I was 17, 18 years old. I know it's a big part of your life as well, Tim. So that's a very, very important habit. The idea of waking up first thing in the morning and turning your mind to creative work pre-input, as opposed to checking email and getting reactive, opening up your channel to the unconscious mind first thing when you wake up in the morning, doing the same, ending the workday with quality, hugely important. I remember when I went skiing with Billy Kidd, who, as you might recall, is one of the great downhill racers from back in, I think, the 60s Olympic ski team. Awesome dude. Now he's out in Colorado wearing a cowboy hat. just a timeless guy, brilliant dude. And, you know, he was saying to me years ago when I first skied with him, "Josh, what do you think of the three most important turns of the ski run?" And, you know, I've asked that question to a lot of people since. And most people will say the middle because it's the hardest, the beginning because they're getting momentum. Billy describes the three most important turns of the ski run are the last three before you got in the lift. And it's a very, very subtle point. And for those of you who are skiers, you know that, you know, that's when the slope is leveled off, there's less challenge. Most people are very sloppy then. They're taking the muscles off of they're taking the weight off the muscles they've been using. They have bad form. Problem with that is that on the lift ride up, unconsciously, you're internalizing bad body mechanics. As Billy points out, if your last three turns are precise, then what you're internalizing the lift ride up is precision. So I carry this on to, you know, the guys who I train in the finance world, for example, ending the workday with very high quality, which mm-hmm. opens up, you know, for one thing, you're internalizing quality overnight. Mm-hmm. And we're nurturing themes as well as skills, right? It's one thing to learn skills, but the higher art is to learn themes or meta-themes that will ultimately spontaneously erupt into the internalization of hundreds of what I would call local habits. Mm-hmm. And so if you're practicing quality, you're deepening the muscle of quality. Mm-hmm. And you're also focusing the unconscious mind in an area of complexity, which you'll then tap first thing in the morning. So this is a mm-hmm. core habit. Journaling, certain post-mortem processes, reflecting on the, you know, doing, ending your day with a reflection on of the quality of the work. What are the core areas of complexity that you're wrestling with? Hugely important. You know,
Would you do that immediately after the end of the workday per se, before bed? How would you time that if someone wanted to try this themselves?
I time at the end of the workday before. The problem with doing these things right before bed is that then you're sort of consciously going to bed thinking about these things.
Right.
At that point, I find you want to release. So, a very core idea is, you know, when you go home, as best you can, unless you're red hot inspired, release your mind from the work. It's very important to give your stress and recovery core habit, right? You want to be turning it on and turning it off. And teaching people to turning it off is a huge part of teaching them to turn it on much more intensely. And so stress and recovery workouts, interval training, and meditation together are beautiful habits to develop to cultivate the art of turning it on and turning it off. So if you're undulating your heart rate, for example, between 170, 172, 174, and say 144, the practice of lowering your heart rate over the course of, say, 45 seconds is akin to falling asleep, releasing your tension. And then as you're pushing your heart rate back up, you're learning to turn it on. So you're using a physical metaphor to train at the art of turning on incredible intellectual energy and then turning it off. Marcelo Garcia, who we were talking about, one of my most beautiful memories is of him in, you know, world championship right before going into the semifinals, raucous bleacher, everyone's screaming, yelling, he's sleeping. sleeping on the bleacher. You'd wake him up. He'd sort of stumble into the ring. You've never seen a guy more relaxed before going into a world championship fight. And then he can turn it off so deeply. And, man, when he goes in the ring, you can't turn it on with any more intensity than he can. And his ability to turn it off is directly aligned with how intensely he can turn it on. So training people to do this, have stress and recovery, undulation throughout their day. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, thematically, this ties into, again, this internal proactive orientation. And, you know, building a daily architecture, which is around understanding your creative process as opposed to reacting to things, feeling guilty that you're not working, really teaching people to tap into their internal compass.